Word's good, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, maybe I don't know everybody's background and where you've all come from and different things. And I know my background. I know my wife's background. I know a lot of your background, not all of yours. And maybe you come into a church like this. It's a little different. You know, people raising their hands, saying stuff out loud. And, you know, I'm excited for all the things to get to teach in this church. One of the things that I'm excited about as a pastor, I told the Lord from the beginning, I'll preach the whole Bible. And I came into a church like this, and there were so many things that I didn't know. And one of the things I learned was the power of praise. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas were in prison in the worst condition of their life, at midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God. Then the Bible says the chains were busted off, the doors were opened up. The walls of Jericho did not fall until the people began to shout. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, the Bible says the singers and trumpeters began to sing, began to lift their voice and praise God. The Bible says that then the cloud came into the room, so thick that the Bible says that people began to fall under the power of God. But the walls didn't come down, the chains didn't burst off, and the cloud didn't come in God's presence until people praised. He said, I am the one that inhabits or dwells in the praises of my people. What's he saying? When my people praise, it's a vehicle to bring them to the situation. The last thing Paul and Silas felt like doing in prison at midnight was praising God. They had just been stripped naked, beaten, and bloodied. But there they lifted their voice, and what happened? Their praise was a vehicle for God's power to manifest. When the children of Israel lifted their voice, began to blow the trumpet, and began to shout and praise, the walls came crumbling down. Many of you need walls to fall in your life. You're just not praising enough. Amen? You know what praise does? It keeps your faith on an all-time high. Why? Because when you praise, you keep your attention on Him. And when you keep your attention on Him, the problem becomes small because He's so much bigger than your problem. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You need to be praising. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we just need to learn some of these things. But if you have your Bibles tonight, you can go with me to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. This is part 2 of our series called Walking in Divine Healing. And let's go ahead and let's pray. If you don't have your Bible, we do have one up on the screen. I mean, we put a set, what is it, a 75-inch Bible? Up? I mean, we put a 75-inch Bible on the TV up on the wall for you. So we got you covered if you didn't bring yours. But Father, I'm just so thankful and so grateful for the opportunity to preach in this church, for the opportunity to stand before such wonderful people whom you died for, gave your life for. You love them so much, you have a plan for them. You have a purpose for them. And Father, it's an honor, it's humbling to be able to do so. And Lord, people don't need to hear from me. People don't need to hear my thoughts, my ideas, my opinions, my philosophies. No, we need to hear from heaven. So Father, I thank you that as I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. Just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. I thank you, you'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, I won't speak as enticing words of man's wisdom, but I will speak as the oracles of God tonight. Boldness and utterance will flow from me because I've asked you and you're faithful. And that's what you want for your people. So, Father, we thank you that bullseyes in people's hearts are going to be hit tonight. People are going to get answers. People are going to get solutions. People are going to get encouragement. People are going to be blessed and say, I'm glad I came here. I heard from heaven tonight. So, Father, we thank you for what's about to take place in this service. And we always give you the glory. We always give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, in these series, I am going to do some review because some people aren't here for all of them, but also the Bible says faith cometh not by having heard. Faith cometh in Romans 10:17 by hearing and hearing the word. When I want my children to get something or to recognize something, I don't just tell them one time. It's very important that my children at my house, they stop on the driveway at a certain point or they're going to go out into a busy road. Well, I'd not just told them when they were young just one time where to stop on their bikes. No, every time we're outside, I reiterate that to them. Every time they go outside to ride their bike, I reiterate. I don't care that they're 8 years old, almost nine. Doesn't matter to me. You do not go past this certain part in the driveway. Even when I'm out there, you don't go past. Why? Because I want them to get it on the inside of them. Because it's important. And that's what the word is. Hearing and hearing and hearing. And so we will do some review. But I am fired up for this series because the devil does not like when we preach on healing. Why? The devil likes to keep people sick. Why does he like to keep people sick? Because the Christian is the body of Christ. And if the body of Christ isn't whole, if the body of Christ isn't well, and we're the hands and feet that do the work, Jesus is on the throne. He's not coming back until he comes back to get us. He's not coming back to minister. He's not coming back to go out and lay hands on the sick. He's not coming back to, as Mark 16 says, to cast devils out of people anymore. He's not coming back to teach and to preach his word. No, we're the body of Christ. It's our job to be the hands and the feet. And the devil would love to keep the body sick and down and broken. And so God, thanks be to God, he's provided us divine healing. But Hosea 4:6 says something very interesting. And the reason I start with this in this series is because I had a few weeks ago had people in my South Dayton congregation raise their hands of people that came out of a church that didn't teach them things like this in the Word. That they were with people that loved the Lord, that were wonderful people, but didn't teach on healing, didn't teach on faith, didn't teach on the Holy Ghost, didn't teach on what the Word said about different things. And they, because those people didn't know it either. And they came in and hands went up all over the building. And then I said, how many of you have received things different in life once you learned? And the same hands went up all over the building. Well, the Bible tells us something right here. It says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The old saying, what you don't know can't hurt you, is not biblical. Ignorance is bliss. That's not biblical. Ignorance is destruction. Amen? What you don't know can hurt you. And if people don't know about divine healing, if people have bought into or take the line that the world tells you, that God's not interested in you being well, that wellness only resides once you get to heaven in the sweet by and by, or that God's the one that is the author of sickness and disease and wants you sick, if people buy into that, guess what? When they're not well, when symptoms come on their body, they'll just say, this is what God must have wanted for me, and how can I fight against what God wants for me? Well, that's what we're going to teach you, because the Word says something entirely different. And if you don't know, you won't go forth to try to receive what God has for you. I don't know, maybe you'll get excited about this after I tell you, because maybe you didn't know this, but a few years back, I found out that New York State had a website for unclaimed funds, that there were, I don't know if it was thousands or millions, I don't know about how many it was, but it was a lot of people that did that had money coming to them from some form or fashion that had no idea. Yeah, some of them hundreds of dollars, some of them thousands of dollars. But let's say the people with thousands of dollars, let's say they're struggling at home to pay their bills, and man, they could use an extra $1,000. Well, that website might have their name on there and their address, and that's them. And that website might say, hey, there's $1,000 that's yours. But it doesn't matter that it belongs to them. It doesn't matter that it's theirs until they find out about that website, log into the website, go through the paperwork to get that. They don't receive that money. Doesn't matter that the computer says, yeah, you have $1,000, until they find out about it. If Aunt so-and-so from California leaves you an inheritance, but somehow the lawyers in the family never told you, it doesn't matter if legally you're a millionaire. If you've not been informed, the bank might recognize it, the lawyers might recognize it, but until you're aware of it, you'll just live the same way. You won't know, and here all of this is available to you. It's the same way I find all the time, and so I'm excited to pull the curtain back, to pull the veil off what the devil tries to keep people down. Now again, I do caution you, who cares what I say? Who cares what I think? If it's not the Bible, you don't accept it. We're not like little baby birds in the seat that just sit there with our mouths wide open and accept what any preacher says. No, no, no. We judge everything by the Bible. But I'm also here to warn you, that's the only thing you're ever going to hear come out of this guy's mouth. Why? I'm not smart enough to say anything else. I wouldn't know what else to do. So I just have taken upon myself to be a professional plagiarizer. And I just say what he says. I stick close to this because he's got the answer. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to see in this series, what's God's take on divine healing? Is it his will, we're going to find out, that every one of his children walk in divine healing? Did Jesus, we're going to find out, did he die for salvation only, or was there more included in that gift? The Word tells us. We're going to find out how to receive divine healing. If you need divine healing, oh, this is your place. Woo, we've had some people get some things changed in their life when they heard the Word, became aware of it, and went for it. Praise God. When I found out, I wish it would have been thousands, just a few hundred bucks. But when I found out I had that money sitting there, guess what I did? Boom! Throop! I mean, I wanted free money. Give me my money if it's mine. Well, if it's healing is available to you, you want it, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to see also why people lose their healing, and we're going to see why people don't receive their healing. It's all in the Word. But we said last week, in order for you to receive from this series, you must walk in through these doors and sit in those seats, and you must lay aside how you think, how you feel, what you've been taught about the subject. If it's not the Bible, who cares what Grandma so-and-so said? Who cares what preacher so-and-so said? Who cares what so-and-so or anybody says if it's not the Bible? The Bible brings help. People bring help when they bring the Bible with them, praise God, and speak the Word. But the Word is our help. So you got to throw it away. Go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Praise His name forevermore. He says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. Well, transformed from what? Well, in this case, from sickness to health, from disease to better, praise God. How? By the renewing of your mind. He doesn't say transformation and change come from going by what you think or what you thought or what you feel. He said, no, you renew your mind to God's Word. And in James, it says that our mind will be saved or helped by receiving with meekness the engrafted Word. The Word comes into our life. See, many people walk through these doors, and for years they've been taught that God's not interested in their healing, that God's okay with them being sick. I've heard people even preach that God is the one that puts sickness on people's body. Now, I'm going to totally debunk all that garbage in this series. We're going to give religion a big fat lip in this series and a couple of black eyes. I mean, we're just going to do a 1-2 punch, pow. Like I tell Caleb all the time, don't mess with me, buddy. There'll be 3 hits. Me hitting you, you hitting the ground, and the ambulance hitting 90. He loves when I say it to him. That's what we're going to do to the devil. We're going to hit the devil. He's going to hit the ground, and the ambulance is going to have to hit 90 to drag him out of here. We're going to expose him in this series. And so many people just don't know. They've been taught. God's not interested. And then we said this, and this might be the most important thing we said last week. You can't judge God by circumstances, by feelings, by thoughts, or by what other people are going through. Let me give you an example. I had a preacher one time tell me the Bible school that I was going to that taught healing was not of God. They said, healing, you know, is not of God. I said, what do you mean? A preacher was telling me this. So as a young boy, I thought, what I've been taught it is. The Word I see it is. So I thought he was going to give me scriptures. No, he didn't give me scriptures. You know, a lot of people will say God's a certain way because they're experiencing something or going through something. I'm broke. I'm depressed. I'm sad. I'm sick. Life is hard. So because I'm going through that, that must be God's will for my life. And he said about that woman, he said there was a woman in my church. He said she was believing for healing. She loved God and she was faithful. And she died of such and such a disease when she was younger. And he said if anybody were to be proof that it was God's will to heal, it would be that she would have received it. And she didn't. So I am assured that God's will is not to heal everybody. He didn't give me one scripture. He didn't give me one verse. He gave me how he felt. He gave me how he thought. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't judge God by feelings. We don't judge God by someone's circumstance. We don't judge God by what somebody else is facing. We judge God by the unchangeable Word of God. And the example we used is we clearly showed you in several scriptures that it is God's will that not one person go to hell. We saw it in the Word. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come, that whosoever would believe. We declared and we showed and we laid the groundwork that it is His will for all to be saved. But we said, do people go to hell? Yes, they do. Does everybody receive Jesus? No, they don't. But then it must, if you could look into hell and see people there, you could say, must be that was God's will for their life. No. The children of Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And you could look from the outside and say, that's God's people over there. They're wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. Must be that's what God wanted for them. No, or you can read the story and see that God had a land for them. Because of their doubt and unbelief, they were kept out. God never wanted them to wander. But just because they were wandering, that wasn't God's will for their life. Amen. So we're going to see what God's take is on healing. Are you ready? Now, you have to be convinced. Now, what we're going to lay the groundwork tonight and brand into you forever is that your God, the very nature of Him, your Heavenly Father, is a healer. Okay? Now, the reason I'm saying that to you is because if you're not convinced that He is, by nature, a healer, and that's what He wants to do, when you're sick, disease, or symptoms come on your body, you won't run to Him. If you're not absolutely convinced, you will not run to Him. Amen. A few years back, well, more than a few years now, I was having pain in my lower stomach area. And I was in a church service, and I was sweating profusely. My suit was so wet, you could wring it out. And that is not an exaggeration. And also, at the same time, I was freezing cold, and I left the service. And I went to the house, and I told Courtney, I said, I have to go to the emergency room. Well, this is when Caleb's a baby, he's sleeping. And like an idiot, I should have called the ambulance. I drove myself, and I actually could have gone to a hospital that was 5 minutes away, and I went to the one that was 25 minutes away because I liked it better. And on the way down there, I almost passed out. But no, it wasn't smart. And I walked in, and I collapsed on the floor. Well, they got me into surgery and found out that my appendix had ruptured, but what had happened was the doctor said it was the worst appendix that he had ever seen in his life. Well, what happened was 3 days before was the Kentucky Derby, and I was getting ready to watch that on a Saturday afternoon, but I was laying in the fetal position on the couch for 4 hours. My stomach hurt so bad. Well, all of a sudden, throughout the day, I had relief, and I felt this warm feeling. I thought, my goodness, maybe, I didn't know, I'd never had kidney stones. Maybe it was a kidney stone, and I passed a kidney stone. I felt better, but what had happened, my appendix had ruptured. And when your appendix ruptures or bursts at first, you get a feeling of comfort. But then the problem was the poison started to spread through my body. And it spread through my body for 3 days. The doctor said to my family, he shouldn't be alive. And I went in there, and normally an appendectomy, you're in the hospital for a day or two at the most, a normal one. But I was in there in the hospital for over 2 weeks because the poison had gotten through my body so bad. I was bedridden when I was there. Another thing happened to me. I had to have another surgery while I was in the hospital. Certain things happened to my body from those 3 days of the poison spreading that the doctor said would never be fixed. That the doctor said, you'll have these symptoms for the rest of your life. They said, there's certain things that won't start to clear up for a year. Now, I'll tell you what, when you hear that and you're bedridden and in much pain as I was in, that's a heavy load to take. But you know what I didn't sit there and do? I didn't sit there and feel sorry for myself. No, actually, there's a lady in our South Dayton church by the name of Alice. I call her Grandma Alice. I've adopted her as my grandma. And not legally, of course, but anyways, you get my take. And she was a nurse, and she is, if she's listening, oh, Grandma, I'm telling you again, she's a sneaky one. Oh, you got to watch her. Am I telling the truth, Jeff? Woo-wee, you got to watch out for Grandma Alice. One time, Grandma Alice, when she comes, I'll introduce her to y'all. One time, I got a text from Grandma Alice that said, would you like to come over, watch a movie, and spend the night? I thought to myself, what in the world is she doing? And I wrote back to her, I said, would you like me to bring popcorn too? Well, at that time, when I wrote back to her, she realized she didn't send it to her granddaughter like she thought. She sent it to her pastor. And so that's Grandma Alice for you. And so Grandma Alice, I texted her while I was laying there in the bed, and I said, Grandma Alice, they got me on this bed alarm because I can't get up and move. They don't want me to get up and move. You got to teach me how to disarm this thing. And she did. She taught me how to disarm it in the middle of the night. I got up in the middle of the night with that IV cart connected to me. And I could barely walk, and I walked through that bedroom slow, declaring and proclaiming and praising God for what He's going to do in my body. I know what the doctors are saying. I'm not saying they're not smart, and I'm not saying that's not what my body was saying. But I have a higher word than the doctors. I have a higher word than my feelings. I have a higher word than my thoughts. It's called God's word. And His word says what I'm going to teach you in this series. And so I didn't sit there and feel sorry. Oh my gosh, I ruined my life. My life's over. I'm going to have these symptoms. Nope. I ran to Him. Why? Because Pastor Mike Anderson is 100% sold out and convinced that God is a healer and that God wants me healed 100% of the time, 24/7, 365. And that's what you're going to get when you walk out of this series. Amen. Amen. And symptoms are going to show up at your door and try to get on your body, or the things that have dogged you for years, and you're going to say, enough's enough. The trespasser has to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's not even 7 o'clock, and you got me fired up already. So we're doing good. Praise God. Well, are you ready to look at this?
Amen.
Again, we're going to see what the Bible says. We're going to look at tonight and proclaim that God is a healer. Go to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Let's just see what the Word says. And he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do what is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments and keep all these statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Now look at the last line. This is what I want to focus on. This is God declaring, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now before I get to that last point, I don't have time, but if you want, I'll do it in private and we can sit down in private and look at things. I don't have time to show you the first part where it says, put the diseases on the Egyptians. I can teach that to you and help you. God never wanted the Egyptians to be sick. Now, the Egyptians were evil people that came against his people. But how many of you know the Bible says in the New Testament, the wages of sin is death? The New Testament is how we always interpret the Old Testament. The Bible says, and you'll see in this message, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God said to people, he said, I give you a choice, life or death, choose life. And I could teach you some of the things and the verbs of how the Hebrew's written, but I don't need to. I'll let the Word do the talking tonight, and if you want to get more in-depth on that, we can. But the fact remains, at the end of the verse, he says, I am something, the Lord that healeth thee. Now, in the Hebrew, that is, I am Jehovah, that's the Lord God, Rapha. That means the Lord that healeth thee. God is declaring, once and for all, I am the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord that heals you. Do you see that there? Hallelujah. Now, if somebody, you were to come up to somebody, now if you would have got my slick text, you would have known where this was coming from, because I kind of shared a little bit about this. If somebody were to say to them, what do you do for a living? And they say, I'm a baker. I am a baker. You would know they bake. If they were to say to you, I declare I'm a baker, you wouldn't say, no, you're not. You don't bake. You're not in the baking business. Would you say that? That's silly. But God is declaring for mankind once and for all, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that heals. That's why I said in that slick text, a runner runs, a singer sings, right? A healer does what? Heals. Praise God. He says, I am the Lord that heals you. Pastor Scott, will you stand up again? If I say to you, I like it up here better. But if I say to you, I am short. None of you say, no, you're not. No, you're not, Pastor Mike. I am short. Yeah, thank you, sir. I just wanted to demonstrate my shortness. I am a boy. Nope, he's lying. I know he's a girl. I know he is. He says he's a boy, but I think he's a girl. I am white. I'm trying to drive home a point to you. Nope, he's not white. Nope, he's not white. I'm telling you what I am. And you don't argue with it because you know that's what I am. But when God says, I am the Lord that heals. Nope, God's not interested in healing. I am healer. Oh, that's passed away. God, but wait a second. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says that he's the Lord that changeth not. If he's the Lord that heals back in Exodus 15, 26, guess what? He's the Lord that heals on March 16th, 2019. He never changes. He says, I am, but people argue. People complain. People say all the time, no, God's not a healer. You wouldn't call and say a baker. You don't bake. No, Pastor Mike, you're one of the tallest people I've ever seen. No, Pastor Mike, you're a woman. No, Pastor Mike, you're not white. You're a different race. You wouldn't say that. But with God, we question and argue against him. Amen. Do you see how stupid it is? You see how religion can blind people? Praise God. Well, go with me to Exodus 23 and verse 25. What am I doing? Branding you with that God's a healer. Why? So that you know your Father wants you healed. Well, then why, Pastor Mike, am I sick? See, you can't do that. Why am I sick? If God was a healer, why am I sick? Well, if God's a saver, why are people going to hell? You got to learn. You got to find out. You got to learn how to receive it, praise God. The Bible says that Jesus, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, said, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And then he goes on to say, to the captives free, to preach deliverance to the captives, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to heal the brokenhearted, to recovering of sight to the blind. What's he saying? There's people in certain situations that are negative, that they're hurting, but Jesus said, I'm here to change those things. So we might be in a condition or living in a certain way, but he's saying to you, I'm here for that to change, praise God. Exodus 23, 25, he said, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. And he said, I will. Oh, no, he won't. Don't tell him what he will and won't do. He said, I will. Praise God. He said, I will. Praise the Lord. Pastor Scott sent me a text today about his kids going into nursery. I sent him a long text back about it, didn't I? Telling you what my will was. What did you do? He sent me a text back. Are you sure? I said, no, I just wasted my time sending you that big text before. I just wanted to waste my time. What was I telling him? I already told you what my will was. Yeah. Amen. He says, I will take sickness away from you. What's God's will? Not for you to have your sickness, not to keep sickness. He wants to take it away. That's what he said. I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. Go to Psalms 103, verse 1. Woo, we're Brandon tonight. We're just getting it into you. Psalms 103, verse 1. Praise his name forevermore. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And by the way, Pastor Mike did not stay sick for a year. Pastor Mike, those things that were impossible are gone out of my body. It was within a few weeks. Every symptom that they said would be in me for a year or for the rest of my life, it all disappeared. Now, guess what? When I got out of the hospital, things took a turn for the worse, and things got so bad that when I would sleep at night, I'd wake up in the morning, there were things going on in my body, and again, you could wring, it's not the most nicest thing to think about, wring out my sheets with sweat. The pain that I was experiencing when I got out. See, now that could be tempting to say, I guess it's not God's will for me to be healed. I guess that's not what God wants for me. I don't go by my feelings. I don't go by what the thoughts are. I go by what his word says, and his word doesn't change even when you feel bad. His word doesn't change even when the doctor says something. Amen. And I just believed his word. Said, oh, no, you don't. He said, I'll have what I say. He said, if I receive by faith, I'll get the promise of God. Praise the Lord. And I did. And they all left, and the doctors were amazed. And there are people in here tonight that could stand up here and say testimonies of once they learned the word. People in South Dade said, once they learned the word, they didn't accept what the circumstances gave them. They didn't accept what the world gave them. They only accepted what the word said they could have. Amen. Psalms 103, verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Caleb's listening right now, so I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. He listens to me, and they love when I talk about him. Oh, the kids just love when I talk about him. But now I was trying to do a little thing. He had gotten a Tom Brady jersey. I know, don't hate me for it. He got a Tom Brady jersey for Christmas, and he got something else. I can't remember exactly what it was that he loved so much. But one thing that his daddy got him that I was super excited about, now he's going to know about it. I wanted to see how long he would go without it. I bought him a trail camera that you put on the tree in the woods for the deer, the coyotes, bears to walk by, just something fun for him and I to be able to go out in the woods, put it on the tree, find out where the big deer are, where the bears are, where the coyotes are, all the animals come back, put them on his little thing on his iPad, and we can look at that together. He has not brought that thing up one time since Christmas morning. He forgot all about it. Because that Tom Brady jersey and another thing that he got, now he knows, he's listening. Now he's going to remember and want to go put that in the woods. But what? There was a benefit from him. And again, the weather and things like that, that's why as it got nicer, I wasn't going to withhold that from him. But my point is, that thing would have been out on the tree if he'd have been excited about it. But what happened? He forgot about the benefits of what Daddy got him. Don't forget about God's benefits. If you forget about God's benefits, you won't go for them. Well, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If there's benefits, I want some benefits. You could say it this way, I want all of God that I can have. Now, I've told on Caleb, now it's time to tell on Abby. You've heard this story, some of you. I took the kids to Erie not too long ago. They had the day off of school. Took them to see a movie. They got popcorn and candy. I loaded them up. Blessed day, you know. Took them to Chick-fil-A after. I mean, that place is godly. Chick-fil-A is, they got to have one of them in heaven. And I took them to Chick-fil-A. I'm telling you, there must be one up there. And I took, and I don't mean godly just because they close on Sunday. I mean, the food is heavenly. That's what I'm talking about. We took them to Chick-fil-A, and we're sitting there eating, and Abby says, now I want to go to the trampoline park. I want to do this. I want to do that. She's my 5-year-old. Caleb's my 8-year-old. They couldn't be more different. And Caleb pipes up and says, Abby, be a blessing. He said, don't you realize what we just got to do? We got to go to a movie and get candy and popcorn. We're at Chick-fil-A. Don't you understand? And then he busts out this line, and I don't know, maybe we've used it before. I don't know, but he said, the kids in China don't get this stuff. That's what he said. And now he's preaching to her. And I thought that that would soften Abby a little bit. And I thought that she would realize her wrong. And she, as straight-faced as ever, looked at him and said, I don't care. I want more. Now, she has to be corrected on some of that, but at part of that, I appreciate that mentality. If there's more to be had with God, I want it. And there's benefits, praise God. Go to verse 3. He says, what are his benefits? He's going to tell you a couple of them here. Who forgives all your iniquities. Aren't you glad? No matter what you've done, no matter what you've messed up in, it's not too hard for him. He said, I'll forgive it all, praise God. And he says, who healeth? Part of the benefit package. If you have a benefit package of insurance to cover your dental procedures, when you go to the dentist, you are not demanding that you pay for what's covered. It's part of the benefits. You don't sit there with a toothache, with a benefit package of heaven, or if you have optical and your eyes are all messed up and you can't see, say, oh, and it's covered 100%, I'm not going to go take it, I don't want that benefit. No, whatever benefit is offered to you, you want it. And he says, one of the benefits I have is I'll forgive your iniquities and heal your diseases. Well, God's okay with me having this. Is he? Well, God wants me to have this. God's okay. God did this to me. Did he? So far, we said he saw him declare, I am, I am, I am. Don't tell me what I'm not. He said, I will take sickness away from you. I will heal all your diseases. And again, people say, well, then why aren't I healed? That's why you're getting what you're getting taught. How to walk. What's the series called? How to Walk in Divine Healing. Divine healing, just like salvation, will not fall on your head like a ripe piece of fruit off a tree. Salvation didn't fall into your head and into your lap. You had to learn, believe, and receive. Same with divine healing. Well, if God wanted me healed, I just would be healed. He must be okay with me going through this. No. You got to learn what he has for you, proceed by faith, and receive it by faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. Psalms 107, verse 20. Psalms 107, verse 20. Man, Pastor, you go to a lot of verses. Yeah, we're in church. What do most preachers do? Preach about their opinions? Give you some fluff of, do this and everything will feel good. No Bible, just have these thoughts. Not around here, man. We're going to feed you well. You're going to walk out of here so stuffed spiritually. Amen. That's what we're going to do. Why? Because the Word is our answer. Psalms 107, verse 20. What are we doing? Showing you that God's a healer. He sent His Word. He sent it. He sent it. I have family in Florida, 2-3 cousins. And a sister and a brother-in-law down there, and recently I had sent them all gifts. I took the time to buy the gifts, put the gifts, wrap the gifts, put the gifts in a package, go to the post office, pay for the postage, and get that thing shipped out. When they received that, the first thing they didn't think was, he didn't want me to have this stuff. I sent it. If I sent it, that's me showing you, I want you to have this. He sent his word. He sent it, his idea. And his word translated into healing. What's Proverbs chapter 4 say? My son, daughters included, attend to thy words. Incline thine ears to thy sayings. For they are life unto those that find them. Health to all their flesh. Yes, praise God. He sent it. You know why he gave us his word? Because he's interested in what the result of the word is, healing. oh, God doesn't want me healed. Oh, no, 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 no. He sent his word so you could be healed. Amen. Go with me to John chapter 5 and verse 19. Now on a Saturday night, I try to get you out of here by 7:30, so don't think we're going to preach the everlasting gospel in one sitting. But we're going to get out what needs to get out. Praise the Lord. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Is God a healer? Is God a healer? That's the first thing you need to know, is that God's a healer. Because if you're not convinced, you can't. There's things that the doctors cannot help you with. Things that medicine can't touch. Doctors' reports that say it's impossible. You're going to have to live with this. It's, you know that popular word, incurable. Now, I'm not denying that naturally it is. I'm not denying that by medical science it is. But our God's bigger than natural science. Our God's bigger than any medicine. Thank God for medicine. And thank God for doctors. But doctors and medicine have limits. God doesn't have any limits. Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. And if you don't know that he's convinced, because he's the one you're going to need in those incurable things, those impossible things, only he can do it. And if you're not convinced that he wants to or that he will, oh, you won't run to him. You won't exercise your faith. John 5 and verse 19, is God a healer? Is God a healer? Well, let's find out. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but only what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever things he does, the Son does likewise. What's Jesus saying? I only do on the earth what I look in heaven and see Daddy doing. You see that now? That's what Jesus said. He said, I'm only doing what I see Daddy do. John chapter 5 and verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I don't seek my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. What's he saying? What I do is only a result of what I see. What I carry out is only a result of what he has me to carry out. What's Jesus saying? I am a God robot. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, I'm only going to do on the earth what I look into heaven and see him doing. I'm only going to carry out the will of him that sent me. So guess what? You know how you can find out what God's take is on healing? Just look at Jesus. Now, I came up with, by the Holy Ghost, I wrote this in the book that I wrote a few years ago, goodness, the Jesus rule. People all the time say, I wonder who God is. He's so mysterious. It's so hard to find out who he is. That's religion talking. He gave you an open book test on how to find out who he is. He said, here I am. What's the Jesus rule state? If you want to find out exactly who your Father is, just look at Jesus. Why? Because everything that Jesus did was a representation of what the Father wanted, what the Father did. Because Jesus said, all that I do is I look in there and do. Well, let's find out some of the things that Jesus did. Go to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. Man, I'm pumped. Woo, I'm pumped. Take that, devil. He's already got a fat lip and one black guy. Let's give him the second right now. Let's just give him the second. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. So many people have been hoodwinked and spoon-fed their whole life that what they have is what they have. And that there's no hope and no change. And when I get to heaven, I'll thank God for heaven. But Jesus said, I pray that heaven would invade the earth. God told the children of Israel in the Old Testament that you would have days of heaven on the earth. That's his will. I'm not saying heaven's not going to be awesome. Heaven is where we won't have any tests and trials, praise God. But the tests and trials we have down here, he gave us his word and faith to navigate those, to be victorious over those things. In Matthew chapter 8, in verse 1, it says, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, a sick person, worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will. Now, why can Jesus say, I will to the leper? Because Jesus said, I only say, I only do what he has me to do on the earth. So he must have looked up into heaven and God said, absolutely. Why? Because I am the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord that takes sickness away from your midst. I am the Lord who heals all your diseases. I am the Lord that sends my word and heals you. So Jesus, because he's only carrying out God's will on the earth, when he says, I will, what's he saying? That's my Father's will. Amen. Go with me to verse 5. When Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will. I will. Why? Looked into heaven and God said, yeah, I'm a healer. Of course I will. Praise God. Go to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Teaching, preaching, and what? Healing. Well, why was Jesus going about teaching, preaching, and healing? Because he looked into heaven and saw what the Father's will was. And healing was the Father's will. Amen? Go with me to Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. We're almost done. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. He is a healer. He is a healer. Don't let the devil tell you. Don't let the devil convince you. Well, I've had this for years. You're about to have something different now. Life's about to be different for you. You see, all the time people approached Jesus and came to him with things that they suffered with their whole life. Things and conditions that they suffered with. But when they met the healer, woo, life's changed. People that were sick for 38 years. People that had infirmities for 12 years. That's the way it's always going to be. Wake up after 1 year. Wake up after 2 years. Wake up after 3 years. It's just the way it's always going to be. Not when you contact the healer, it's not. Not when you learn to be skillful with what he says to how to receive it. No, no, no. The buck stops here. Life gets different now. Woo, praise God. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. You say, that guy up there is crazy. You are right. I am. I'm crazy for Jesus. I'm so tired of the devil hoodwinking people and keeping people down and below what God's provided for them. No, God is a healer and people need to know it. And I'll be the one to shout it from the rooftops. Man, oh man, I'll do it. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all that had any sick with divers or different or various diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Why? Because he looked into heaven. What's my will on the earth? And God said, that's part of it. What's Jesus showing us in Luke 4 and verse 40? Our God's a healer. Every single one of them. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Are you stirred up tonight? I'm telling you, I'm just going to tell you right now. If you're having a down day, you're having a down week, I dare you to call me. I dare you to call me. And I will pump so much faith and encouragement into you that you'll walk out of that phone call and hang that phone up and you'll try to run through the nearest wall you find. You'll say, I'm so fired up and pumped up for God, and that situation that's keeping you down and holding you back, you will think that thing is tiny because I'll make God so big in your eyes. Amen. I'll do it. I dare you. I dare you to do it. Acts 10 and verse 38 says, now listen to this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. How did Jesus get an anointing of Holy Ghost and power? God anointed him. How did Jesus get this power to go about with Holy Ghost and power? The Bible says, God put it on him. You know, my kids with school, you know, they love when it's book order time. So they come home, we look through the book orders and find out what book they want, and then, of course, we'll send with Caleb a check written out for the books and filled out the book form for what him and Abby want. Now, when he shows up with a teacher with that check, and it's got our writing on it, not some little kid scribbling on it, our writing, and we sign it for the exact amount, and then they go down the list, that's what it is. That teacher does not look at that and say, Caleb's parents, Abby's parents, don't want him to have these books. No, 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 no. We gave him the ability through the check to go there and to turn that in to have it. Us sending the check with him is a demonstration of our will of what we want them to have in their life. Well, the Bible says that God put something on Jesus, anointing of power and the Holy Ghost. Now, what did the power and the Holy Ghost do? Well, it goes on to tell us. Who went about doing good. So he gets anointed with the Holy Ghost and power from God. God puts it on him. And healing. How many? Wait, what? Now you know, they did a study on the word all. Now those of you that have heard the study, you're laughing. Because you know, see, us preachers, we like to repeat ourselves a lot. We go to the well a lot for the same things. Sometimes my jokes, when I don't hear any laughs, I know that well has dried up. But you're still laughing, so the well is still full. I'm going to come and take from the well. They did us, you know, the Bible in the New Testament was not written in Hebrew. It was written in Greek. And they did a study on the Greek word all. And, I mean, they got every scholar together. And they found out after an extensive study of the word all, you know what it means?
All.
Healing how many? All. How? With the power and the anointing that Daddy put on his life. Healing all that were oppressed of the who? But I thought God made people sick. Oh, the Bible just tells us right there that sick people are oppressed by the devil. You're telling me that God partners arm in arm and does the same things that the devil does? They can't be there. There's no two entities on the opposite side of the spectrum than them two. God does not partner with the devil. The New Testament reveals, where does the sickness and oppression come from? The devil. What was Jesus here to do? Destroy the works of the enemy. But how was he able to go about healing the ones that were oppressed by the devil? Because Daddy gave him an anointing and power. What was Daddy showing? Same thing we show when we send our kids with the book order. That's what Mom and Dad want for him. When Jesus is going about healing, what's it showing the world? That's what Daddy wants for his creation. Amen. Go with me to 3 John 2 and we'll close with the scripture. 3 John, there's only one book or one chapter in the book of 3 John, so we're just going to 3 John verse 2. Teachers, don't call us in question. Say, now, Mr. and Mrs. Anderson, I know I see a check here for a certain amount and it adds up to the ones you have marked in the book order, and I see that you filled the check out and I see that you signed the check, but I'm just not sure this is what you want. And the Bible says God anointed Jesus with Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all oppressed. I just don't know if God wants me healed. I just don't know if God cares. I am the Lord that heals you. I will take sickness away from you. I will bless your bread and your water. Amen. I am the God that changeth not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things. Now, we know by the word that the Holy Ghost is the author of the Bible. Men, he worked through human beings. But the Bible says that all scripture is inspired by God. Or one translation says, God breathed it. So even though John says, I wish, that's just a declaration of what he wishes. He said, I wish... Oh, this is good. Above anything else. You know what that's doing? That's like when the teacher says in class, now, make sure above anything else you study this. What are they doing? Highlighting something. When he says, beloved, I wish above all things, put the spotlight on something. God is saying through the Holy Ghost to John's writing, tell the people what I wish above all things. Now, you would think the first thing that he would say is, I wish that my people would be saved, but the issue is, he's already writing this to people that are saved. Being saved is way better than healing. Having money is being saved is way better than having money and prosperity. But when you already got saved, you don't have to keep going back to the well of salvation. You don't have to keep going back to the cross to get saved. Once you get saved at the cross, you move on from the cross into what he has for you. And he says to my creation, once you're saved, as a parent, the number one thing I wanted for Caleb and Abby was what? Salvation. And they both have received Jesus. Praise God. But now, they're saved. They don't have to get resaved. What's he say he wants for his children? Now, remember, the Bible says when you receive Jesus, you become a child of God. So he's saying, for my children, the number one thing I want above all things is that they would prosper. There's that dirty word. Prosperity. Oof. So dirty. Are you a prosperity preacher? Darn right. Because my Father desires it above all else for me. And I desire that you be in health. I wonder if God wants me sick. Dirt. I wonder if God's okay. Houston, you have a problem if you're thinking that way. What's the number one thing I want for my children after they're born again? Prosperity and health. Prosperity and health. I want them well in all affairs of their life, and I want them well in their body. Number one thing as a dad I want. Isn't that what a good parent does? Isn't that what a good parent does? Oh, how God gets credit for putting sickness on his children. If I made my kids sick, I remember the lady years ago. She was faking that her child, her young child, had cancer. Even so much to shave a part of the back of her head to say that's where the port went for the cancer treatment. Was giving her daughter medicine to make her weak and sick, and they had a benefit, and she got a lot of money from it. Well, she was on purpose making her child sick. And you know what people didn't do? They didn't celebrate her. They didn't say, wow, that's an example of a good mom. No. Guess what? She went to prison. Why? That's called child abuse. Well, God gave me this disease. I heard a gentleman stand up at a Christian concert. Actually, it was at St. Bonaventure years ago. 10,000 people were there, stood up and said, God gave me a disease. I thought, you just accused your father of being a child abuser. If I give my kids a disease and make my kids sick on purpose, you don't celebrate me. You don't worship me. You don't say that's a good daddy. No. God's desire is not to put sickness on you. It's to take sickness from you. Why? Because I am the Lord that heals you. I desire that you would prosper and be in health. I don't desire that you stay sick one day in your life. Just like none of you ever want your kids sick one day of their life. God is not a lesser parent than you are. Amen. This is the first thing you got to brand in your heart. If you're going to, whatever you're going through, or in times when symptoms knock on the door and hell shows up at your front door through symptoms and disease, if you're going to be like Pastor Mike and turn that bed alarm off and get up and declare the word and hear the doctors tell me something, when they walk, I say, Lord, I know that's what they say, but what you say is this, and I believe this. And use faith. The number one thing you have to be sold out in your heart is that God is a healer. You will not get this in your heart after one night. That's why we have this on live stream. When will this be posted, do you think? By Monday sometime, this will be posted. So whenever they're not posted, just get mad at him. You don't get mad at me, you get mad at Pastor Scott, okay? Thank you. He's taking the grenade for me tonight. Praise God. No, we appreciate him. He's got so much to do. I mean, the last thing he needs to be thinking about is stuff for us, but he's willing to do it. But anyways, it'll be posted there. And faith cometh how? By hearing and hearing. And some of you have heard so wrong for so long that your faith is in the area of, I don't think he cares. I don't think he wants it for me. No. You need that driven out. How? The word will drive it out. Until you're so convinced that when something shows up on your body, you can't stay. You can't stay. God doesn't want this for me. And how can you be assured? Not because of some pie in the sky hopeful message, because we showed you verse after verse after verse of what the Father's will is. Amen? Did you receive something tonight? Amen. Let's go ahead. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Oh, let's thank him for the word of God. Lord, we'd be lost without it. Father, we would just have to accept so many things as just being the way life is. Or that's the hand, or the hand that life dealt us, that we just have to accept it. No, your word says we can have better. A lot of people could say, well, I guess I'm just walking in darkness going to hell. No, when they found out in the word, there's something better. There's people that are walking in sickness and disease, have been oppressed by the enemy, have had things come against them for years and thought that's just the way it is. But no, the word says they can have better. So we choose to believe you and not our feelings. We choose to believe you and not what the doctor says. Now, we're not down on doctors. We're thankful for doctors. But you have a higher report than a doctor's report. We don't care what our feelings say. We don't care what our thoughts say. We don't care what so-and-so said. Lord, you are clearly, in your word, a healer. And Father, as we go through this series, we're going to see it more and more and more. We're going to continue to brand this into people. Taking out the wrong thinking of religion. Taking out the wrong thinking, what I like to call stinking thinking, and replacing it with the word, and light will spring up in people. And people begin to move towards your promises and experience and walk into things that they've never walked into before. Father, we thank you for this life-changing series. We're so grateful for your word. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. I don't say that to be bossy, but I say that out of respect for everybody else. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here tonight or you're listening to this online right now or in the future on the archives, Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, the answer is 100% yes. And it's not because I go to church. It's not because my good deeds outweigh my bad. It's not because I'm moral. It's not because I'm generous. Those things don't get you into heaven. Well, then, Pastor, how do you know? Because the Bible says if I receive Jesus, I will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here tonight and you say, I do believe in Jesus, but I've never received him. You have to believe and receive. The devil believes in Jesus. He knows he's real. But he ain't going to heaven. Why? He's never going to receive him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never officially received Jesus into my heart. I've gone to church. I've been a good person. I've tried to do the best I can. Those things won't get you into heaven. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody here want to receive Jesus for the very first time in their life tonight? Would you just raise your hand if you want to receive him? Anybody at all before we close the service? Father, I don't see any hands here tonight, and that doesn't surprise me in this building from the people that I see that are here. But if by chance there's somebody listening right now or in the future on the archive and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, I pray that you would not pass from this life until you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You might say, Pastor, what does that look like? How do I do that? The Bible says if you'll call on his name, you'll be saved. All you have to simply do is say, Lord, just acknowledge you believe in him. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you died, and I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. The Bible says he stands at the door of your heart, and he knocks. Why does he knock? Because he wants you to open that door. He's not the SWAT team, and he's not an intruder. He's not going to bust the door down. He's waiting for someone to open it for him. So if you'll call on his name and declare your belief in him, he said, I'll save you. Oh, he'll come on the inside of you and forgive you for everything you've done. He'll set you on a new course. And I encourage you that if you pray that prayer, if you cry out to him tonight, shoot me an email. Give me a phone call on the website. The email and the phone number's on there. And we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church. Again, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven, but to receive all that God has from you, you need a pastor to teach you these things so you can begin to walk in them and see the promises of God become a reality. Can we just stand to our feet and worship him tonight? Father, we bless you tonight. We honor the name of Jesus. 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 Lord, you are a healer. Lord, you are the healer. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Who is it here tonight that's struggling with the heart problem? Who's got the heart condition? Ford, real quick, don't delay. Don't delay. The Spirit of God just said it's time to heal their heart. And I don't mean a broken heart in the sense of sadness and despair. I'm talking about physical heart problems. Now, the Bible says for those of you that are unlearned or untaught, Mark chapter 16, to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. How did Jesus heal? The Bible says he laid hands on people and they were healed. Well, he's not here anymore. So he told us in Mark chapter 16 that we're to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. The Lord spoke to a minister and said that there would be an endowment in my ministry for healing of hearts. Now, I had a lady in South Dayton come to me and tell me about a heart issue that she had. And the doctor said to her, we have to schedule a heart transplant. You need a brand new heart. And he said, there is nothing we can do about it unless this gets replaced. Well, she came to me, and we believed God, and we prayed, and I laid hands on her. She came back not too long after that, smiling with tears in her eyes. She said, Pastor Mike, went back to the doctor. They checked my heart again, and the doctor said, we don't know what happened. But your heart is as good as new. You don't need a heart transplant. Now, here's the important thing to know. He's the healer. I'm not the healer. But do you believe tonight that any symptom that's in your body concerning your heart, he wants to take care of? Oh, he does. When I lay hands on you, I want you to agree with me in faith that the power of God's going to go through your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And it's going to start working for a cure. I don't care if you walk out of here and the symptoms get worse. I don't care if you walk out of here and a week later the doctor said it's going downhill. You say, no, on March 16th at 7:36 p.m., Pastor Mike Anderson laid hands on me. The power of God went through my body and the healer touched my heart. In the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her heart, we command that heart problem to go. Because that's what Jesus said. He's the Lord that heals. Jesus said in Mark 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. In the name of Jesus, I command by his name. In the name of Jesus, I command that heart problem to get better. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, we speak healing into his life. Now your job for those two that just had hands laid on you is to go home and thank God for your healing. The Bible says we receive by faith and patience. Sometimes they show up instantaneously. Other times we receive the promise of God through patience. Well, it doesn't matter if you can't feel it. It worked. If we believe, the Bible says, the prayer of faith says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. You go home and say, Father, I thank you, my heart's healed according to the word of God. Amen. Let's just give him glory tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. Now, for those that had hands laid on you, when the change comes and the healing shows up, I want the testimony. I want the testimony. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
My knees don't work.
Appreciate you. His word is true. You know what brought the people and changed the people in the Bible? The signs, the wonders, and the miracles. When people start hearing that people are actually getting healed of real things in this church, they'll come. They'll come. We're not going to put up with sickness and disease. Amen. His word is true. Praise the name of Jesus. For those of you, I like to use Julie as an example, our children's church director here, struggled with fibromyalgia and acute chronic asthma. Breathing treatments, medicine, bedridden, missed almost a half a year of school when you were teaching 1 year. Incurable, going to church, loved God, sick. Came into the church, and what was I preaching on when you showed up in South Dayton? A healing series. And Julie heard, I don't have to have fibromyalgia anymore. I don't have to have asthma anymore. And we laid hands on her after she heard the word and believed the same. And how much asthma do you have now? How much fibromyalgia do you have now? None! Amen. Thank you, Lord. We praise the Lord. So let's just give him glory. We'll lay hands on everybody when this series is over. It just was on my heart specifically tonight to minister to people with heart problems. I'm telling you, if you're here, you didn't come forward for heart problems, you're missing out. Is there anybody else that wants to come forward? Say, I have a heart condition. I want hands laid on me. Come forward and get it. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We bless your holy name. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.
Know that we have a purpose.
Here's our purpose,
to be something.